Good morning.
So I'm excited about being here with you today. I do not take this moment for granted. I'm so grateful to be able to afford this opportunity to be able to come and bring what I believe God has laid on my heart for us today. So I say welcome to all of you who have shown up today, and a special welcome also to those who are joining us via live social media. We're excited about having them as well today. I pray that you have had a very awesome week this week, and just in case your week hasn't been as awesome as somebody else's, I pray that after you leave today, you will be encouraged and exhorted from our message today. What if I told you the message actually already started? A lot of times we stand up and we sing together, and you know, out of formality, but there's a message in the songs that we sing. And today I'm so excited about it because I was confident enough to stand before the first service this morning and tell them, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have a message that God wanted me to speak to you today. Not only did he give me confirmation of this message through various means or through various people, if you will, even with the songs that were sung today, it was confirmation. Contrary to what you might think, I didn't discuss with them what the message was going to be. So they didn't have a clue about that. But when you hear what songs they sang versus what's going to be spoken today, hopefully you'll see how God is really truly speaking today if you are listening. First, just by way of a reminder, because I said that the message has already begun, I just want to remind you, what was the first song that we sang, at least some of the words of it? And it says, and nothing formed against me shall stand, because he holds the whole world in his hands. And that we are going to hold on to his promises. Why? Because he's faithful. And then in the second song we sang together this morning, which I believe, again, was the beginning of the message already, says, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And because we know that he holds the future, life is worth the living because he lives. And then finally, if those two weren't enough, as when you get ready to see what the message is about, finally we sang together, I'm no longer a slave to fear, because I am a child of God. And see, what today's message does is it considers those times that we find ourselves in that are bad situations that are beyond our control. And we wondered if we were ever going to get through it or get out of it altogether. It's what we call those almost hopeless looking situations. But what if I told you that God often uses or allows those hopeless looking situations or those hardships in our lives so that it reminds us of what is important? That we are given an opportunity now to consider the shortness of life or how quickly things can change in our lives. It forces us to focus on what really matters, what our goals or our desires are for this life in view of eternity. Now, I've had a chance over the past few months or so to speak with some people in private conversations about things that they are going through. And notice now, I said with some people, so I don't want one individual in here that maybe you've talked to me and you think this message is just about you. But at the same time, then again, this message truly is just for you. Just for you. But I want you to think about something, because when I look out at this room and you look lovely and you look nice and some of you are even carrying smiles on your faces today, I can't help but wonder, what are you truly dealing with in your life, or what are you truly going through in your life at this very moment? How many of you who are logged on and you're joining with us via live social media, how many of you logged on just because you're searching and you're seeking an answer to something that you're dealing with at this very moment? I shared with them in the first service this morning, my wife and I, we attended a birthday celebration last night. And at the birthday celebrations, once everybody stood up and started greeting one another, I shared with them that there was this lady at a table that was telling me to come here. And she looked very familiar to me, but I couldn't place a name with the face but she looked familiar. So I just went over to see what she wanted, and she spoke to me. She wanted to know how I was doing and how my family was, and I told her all was well, and I asked about hers, and she said all was well. But in that moment, something changed. In that moment, after saying all was well, I saw her lip quiver. And she says, I've been needing to talk to you. I've been needing to tell you about some things that I'm going through, and tears began to well up in her eyes. But obviously, being at a party, she quickly gathers herself and she clears her face, she cleans it up and puts her smile back on her face because we had a birthday celebration. But I could not help but wonder, what is she dealing with? That even in the midst of all of these people, it's what's supposed to be a fun time, she's almost come to tears in front of all of these people. Look, and I began to wonder, do she even got the right person? Because I didn't know her. She looked familiar, but I didn't know her. And it was so embarrassing that I didn't know her that I ran and got my wife, hoping she'd know her. So I said, I want you to go over here and meet somebody, because she asked about her. And I said, halfway there, I want you to look and tell me who she is, because I don't know her. Because I'm wondering if she got the right guy. Halfway there, Elaine's like, I don't know her either. But she goes over and she speaks to her. And I could not help but wonder, what was she dealing with? No, I'm not going to tell you what she was dealing with. And the only reason I'm even telling you that part, because my children came up after the first service and said, Dad, you forgot to tell us what she was dealing with. And I was like, no, you weren't supposed to know what she was dealing with. You were supposed to see and understand how this message was being confirmed, that there are people, regardless of the smiles on their face and regardless of how good they look, they may very well be going through a very, very difficult time. And one of the greatest books in the Old Testament that speaks to situations such as these is the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, it's a collection of songs that were first written in response to real life events in the life of its authors. But they later were used by the whole community in their worship towards God. And many of the worship songs that you hear sung today, they either came right from the Psalms, or they used portions of it, or they are either rooted in the book of Psalms. Psalms is even called the emotional hymn book of the Bible. It's where the psalmists in it pour out their hearts to God in praise, especially during a very difficult time. Times that are so difficult that if we look at some of those situations, it would bring many of us to the brink of despair or depression. But if you were to take the time to go and read those psalms, you'll see how the psalmists handle their situations. They lift their hearts to God. If you ever read through those psalms, one of the things that you're going to appreciate the most about them is how open and honest the psalmists are. They don't have like this super prayer language that they can just pray all this fancy prayer. No, they just cry out and pray out loud to God. They just flat out pour their hearts out to the Lord. And in the psalm we're going to look at together today, we'll be looking at Psalms 27. David is the psalmist. And it's one of those psalms that many Bible believers go to for encouragement. And for anyone that has ever taken the opportunity to go and read about the account of David's life, you'll find that he was a great military man. You'll even learn that even as a youngster, he was so strong that he even killed a lion with his bare hands. Even killed a bear with his very bare hands. And I shared with the first group this morning, though, one of the most popular things that most people know about David is his slaying of the giant Goliath with a single stone from a slingshot. He was indeed a man of great victories, a man of many, many conquests. Then you have those people who only want to talk about David's shortcomings. You know, they want to talk about, you know, he slept with another man's wife, Uriah's wife. And on top of that, he had a nerve to scheme to cover it up by having the man killed in battle. But nevertheless, before he commits any of those acts, if you go back and you read the account, God describes David as a man after his own heart. And I believe that's what you're going to get the gist of as we look at this Psalms 27 today. So if you would, turn there in your Bibles, if you have it, Psalms 27. We're going to only look at two verses, the very first verse and the very last verse. That's 1 and 14. If you don't have a Bible and you want to look at it with us, there's one in front of you in the seat, below the seat in front of you. If you don't even own one, we ask and encourage you to take it. It's yours to keep. We're not charging. We're not asking you for it. We just want you to have a copy of the Word of God as your very own. And I get it. Some people would just rather follow along. We do have it up on the slide, and that's fine as well. But before we read those two together, let me share this with you. You got many commentators, they try to put a historical setting to this psalm. They usually suggest it was composed during the rebellion of David's son, Absalom. And for those who want to read about that account, you can find it in 2 Samuel chapter 15. But then you have people that believe that David wrote this Psalm 27 when he was fleeing from King Saul. And that can be found in 1 Samuel, or the beginning of it can be found in 1 Samuel 21. But if you read through these 14 verses, you'll see that there is nothing in the body of this psalm that will specifically tell us which one of these situations David was dealing with. However, if you read about David's life, you'll see that there are numerous occasions in his life when what he expresses in this psalm, he could have easily said the same thing. And not only that, you'll see that even in our own lives, there are many occasions that how David responds in this psalm will be appropriate for our own situations that we might find ourselves in today or even in the future. Now, let me be clear. Your trouble may not be identical to David's troubles, but how many of you know that trouble is trouble? I shared with the first group this morning, I don't try to compare my trouble to your trouble. All I know is that in that moment, I'm in trouble. And when I'm in trouble, I need some help. Trouble simply means difficulty or problems. And all of us have them. As a matter of fact, some of you sitting in here right now, you're headed into trouble. Some of you have just gotten yourselves out of trouble. And dare I say, some of us in here right now are sitting right slap in the midst of troubles. And it is all too familiar to us that trouble has the potential to produce fear, distress, and anxiety. And fear is this very powerful emotion. It is actually a crippling emotion. And every one of us in here has felt it one time or another in our lives. But I need you to understand, as we look at this whole Psalms today, the general objective of this psalm, it is supposed to excite you, or it is supposed to stir you in a confidence towards God from the experience that David had of God's grace and mercy towards him during his troubled time. So let us look closely at these two verses. That this is David's response when he finds himself in a troubling situation. He's actually surrounded by his enemies. And before I read, let me say this. I want you in your own downtime. It's only 14 short verses. Even though we're going to deal with two, go back and read these 14 short verses. As a matter of fact, go back and read all of the Psalms. And what you're going to find out is the psalmists are really no different from you and I. While they are written by renowned people, they go through the same things that we go through. Maybe not the exact specific thing, but their lives are challenging as well. But go back and look at how they worship God in the midst of those challenging times. So look down in your Bibles if you have it, Psalm 27, or follow us along on the screen here. Again, we're reading the first verse and the last verse, and we'll add some context to it so you can get a clearer understanding. Psalms 27 and 1 says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold or strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In the very last verse, the 14th verse, if we can get that up. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. And wait for the Lord. I've entitled today's message, I Will Not Fear. And I want you to leave this place today knowing that no matter what you're facing or come what may, you can stand on the promises of God today and say the same thing that David is saying here. I will not fear. So in this psalm, what David is doing, he is relating the fact that he knows that he possesses the Lord already by faith. And that because of this knowledge, he speaks of the past victories the Lord has given him. And all of us, if we think about it, if you think on it, think hard on it, God has brought you through some very difficult times before. And because David knows this, not only does he speak on his past victories, he speaks on present or future victories. Future victories. He speaks of his faith that God is going to see him through future victories. And David knew, if you read through the psalm, David knew that in his life, the only safe place in this world that's completely safe is to be in a place that's very close to God. So today I want to show you three things that I learned from David that I can clearly see in this text of why David was so confident in God during his time of trouble. And then we want to finish it. I want you to see David has an exhortation. David has a very clear understanding about, even though he's confident in the Lord, he has this clear understanding that most of us miss, or most of us we give up on too soon. So today, again, the message is, I will not fear. So the first thing David says, the reason he doesn't have to fear, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He says, God is his light. And what does light do? Light illuminates darkness. You see, we associate our times of difficulty and trouble with darkness. It brings us to a place of darkness, of fear, worry, and uncertainty because of the things that we may be dealing with. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be something that you're actually faced with at this very moment that's very challenging to you. But David says God is a light to his people, to show them the way when they are in doubt, to comfort and to bring joy to their hearts during any type of challenge, or may it be sorrow. It is in his light that David walks, and it is in his light that David hopes. And you and I can have that same light that David is talking about. We can have that same hope. You only need to look to Jesus for the light of his guidance. Jesus says in John's gospel account, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I know of two ways specifically in scripture that Jesus is a light for those who would follow him, those who would commit to him, those who would be called his disciples. He will be a light for you through his word. Scripture says in a later Psalms, in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. But sadly, saints, many of us won't even pick up the word of God and read it so that we might see what his guidance or what his light is. We don't have a problem with getting on our knees day in and day out and seeking guidance, and there's nothing wrong. That's good in and of itself. But what if the very answer that you seek lies in his word and it's just waiting on you to pick it up? Not only that, God will be your light through his spirit. The Apostle John records in the 16th chapter, but when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will be your guide. He will be your light into all truth. I exhort you, I ask you, I beg of you, acknowledge the Lord Jesus and ask him to be your light during whatever you may be dealing with, so that you may be able to say like David says, I will not fear. The Lord is my light. But he doesn't just stop there. Not only will he not fear because the Lord is his light, he says the Lord is my salvation. And salvation means to be saved. It means to be rescued. And I believe in this context, David is talking about being not only just saved from what his current circumstance of being surrounded by his enemies, but saved from all things that may come his way. So what do you and I need saving or rescuing from? Yes, I understand that you got a physical situation that's standing before you. I understand that there are things that are going on in this world that are very challenging for you. But can I tell you, that's not the most important thing that you need saving from? You see, every one of us have failed God. Paul, when he wrote his letter to the Romans, said, all have sinned and come short of his glory. The prophet Isaiah says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All of our righteousness, all of our good works, all of our deeds are nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God. And we got to understand that even though God is just, he's righteous, and he's a holy God, and he demands punishment for sin. The prophet Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul, again, in his letter to Romans, says the wages of sin is death. And while that is true, that God will, he will ultimately deal with sin, he is a just and a righteous God, but he is also a loving God. And that's why he sent his son to this earth on this rescue mission. You see, the Lord Jesus was sinless. He didn't need to pay for his sins because he had none. Therefore, he could die for you and me and pay for our sins, and that's exactly what he did. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, we need his righteousness. All you have to do is accept his free gift by trusting in him that Christ has paid for your sins in full. And what we learn as little children will hold true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. It'll change your life. For those who will be willing and daring to do that, says if any man be in Christ, he will be made a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And because you are born again, you will now be indwelt by his Holy Spirit. And the spirit that he gives you a spirit that is not given to fear. It is a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. This will remove the fear of standing before a holy God and not knowing what to say. But can you, like David, do you have this confidence? Can you say, Jesus is my salvation, and for that reason, I will not fear, no matter what my current circumstances is and no matter what my eternity circumstances is, I will not fear because I know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. But he doesn't stop there. David is so confident. Now, you got to go and read it. Now, I like something Tammy brought to my attention. If you read it, by the time you get down to the third verse, it says, though my enemies besiege me, says, even if warfare break out against me, David is saying, even if you let this stuff get so close to me, I got confidence that you got me, God. I got full confidence, God, that everything is going to be all right. So not only is the Lord the light in my salvation, but the Lord is my stronghold, or the Lord is my strength. He is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Now, a lot of times Christians love to throw this verse out there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the moment God allows the water to trouble, the moment the boat rocks a little bit, and the waves of anxiety and the waves of fear start to come in, we just like those disciples on that boat. We act like, God, are you asleep? Do you hear me? What are you doing, God? We're about to die. David says, he is the strength of my life. David understood that strength is in the one who is the giver of life. Jesus will give you strength no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're facing in this life. Truth be told, he knows what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead that he hasn't already seen. Nothing that you're going through, nothing that you will go through will ever take him by surprise. So David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom or what shall I fear? He is my strong, he's the stronghold of my life. He is the strength in my life. Whom or what shall I be afraid of? That's what his confidence was in. His relationship with the Lord, no matter how bad things look. I'm reminded of the prophet Elijah and his successor Elisha, and he was scared. It looked like all the enemies were surrounding them, and he thought they were going to die. Elijah said, Lord, please open this boy's eyes. Open his eyes so he can see. And when God opens his eyes, all of heaven's armies is surrounding them, surrounding his enemies. God is surrounding his enemies that he thought that they would be doomed from. And I need you to understand today, whatever you're going through, if you have a personal relationship with God, you have no reason to fear. Even as David says, even if it gets so close to where it's knocking right at your door and it feels like you're going under, he only asks that you have faith. But let's look at this last verse, because this is the difficult thing. Because we'll put out a little checklist. Yeah, the Lord is, he's my light. He's my salvation, and he's my strength, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But David understands something that becomes the Achilles heel of those who have placed their faith in Christ. David says this, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. You see, waiting, it's hard. It's difficult, especially in troublesome times. It's frustrating, and it begins to test our faith. And it is especially difficult when we don't have a guarantee that what we're waiting for is going to come to pass. Desires that we long for, prayers that we've been praying for, a news that we just been waiting to hear, it tempts us to be impatient with God, and we want to rush him. We start to get discouraged, and we start to be anxious, and we start getting scared, and we even wonder, God, do you really care? Are you listening to me? I shared with them in the first group, you'll have people that say, well, minister, I've been praying for 6 months. I've been waiting for 6 months, and God hasn't moved yet. What am I supposed to do? And I'm going to tell you the same thing I told them. Wait. What if I've been praying for 3 years, and I know this is God's will? I've seen it in Scripture. Wait. I even shared with them that in some personal reading that I shared with my wife that I think is a good example of how we are very impatient and don't want to wait on the Lord. I shared with them the story of Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. And if you go and you read it, you can, Luke 1 and 2, you could go and read it. And the angel comes to Zacharias to let him know, hey, God has heard you. You and your wife are going to bear children. Yeah, they're older in years. And if you know the story, Zacharias finds it hard to believe, don't know how it's going to happen. Angel says you're going to be silent until all of this takes place. But my point is this. Obviously, somewhere in Zacharias' earlier days, he was praying that they would have a child. And it looks like God took a long time to bring that about, because when the angel came with the good news saying, God has heard your prayer, now all of a sudden you can't believe that God is doing it. No, Zechariah, you had to wait. What you thought was a no, you just had to wait on the Lord. But I get it. I understand. I need you to understand something like about this, though. All the promises in the Bible, every single promise in the Bible, not your own personal wishes, but all the promises in the Bible that are made clearly in Scripture, they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But I need you to understand, that doesn't mean God is going to work according to our January through December calendar. He works according to his own time, his own spiritual calendar, if you will. Peter talks about this in his second letter. He says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. So it's impossible to come to any conclusion when God is going to move on our behalf. God says, no, you're just going to have to trust me and wait. My timing is not your time. And I know to wait on the Lord speaks of our trusting him in his time. Everybody's timing is not going to be the same. Your wait time may be longer than mine. My wait time may be longer than yours. But the thing you need to understand is that while you are waiting, God is working. And when God tells us to wait, you're just going to have to trust him completely. Trust that God has your best interest in mind and in heart. Because, see, God is more interested in our character, in our ability to reflect Jesus in our daily lives. And he uses waiting periods, and he uses trials and challenges, and even the loss of loved ones. He uses all of these things to prepare godly character in those who have chosen Jesus as their Savior. God wants you to trust him so deeply that you don't even rely on your own strength. Rather, that you simply wait on him and know that he is God. That it is his grace that is sufficient for you. That his power is made perfect in weakness. And as foolish as this sounds for those who belong to the Lord, when you are weak, that's actually when you are strong. Because it simply means that you have no other choice but to be totally dependent upon the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah said it this way: blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him and him alone. Now, all of us, again, are going to have our battles, some more than others. But are you like David? Do you have hope? Are you resting in the sure confidence that God will do just as he promised he would? Because that's what you sung in the songs as you stood up. That's what you said. You said that because he holds the whole world in his hand and because he's faithful, I'll trust in him. His timing is always perfect. I mean, it is always perfect. He is never ahead of time. He never even come before time. The older generation would say he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. While we wait, God is working behind the scenes. And if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for all, how will he not also now, along with him, graciously give us all things? Now, this holds true for those who are in the Lord, those who have accepted the free gift of God's salvation, believing that Jesus Christ, look, it's not enough to believe that he died. It's not enough. It's not enough to believe that he was buried. That's not enough. You have to believe that he got up with all power in his hand. One of the lyrics in the song was what? Because of the empty grave, I know he lives. And I can face tomorrow. But for those of you, if by chance you're sitting in this place today, or if you're watching me via live Facebook, for those of you who don't have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, based on his finished works and his finished works alone, you have every reason to fear. Because God is a just God, and he has to deal with sins. But he is being patient with us because it is not his desire that any should perish. So we invite you to accept God's gracious gift of his beloved son so that you might have a relationship with him. So you can have the confidence that David has and says, I will not fear. And finally, I want to leave you with some great advice from the wisest man who had ever lived besides Jesus Christ, which is King Solomon. King Solomon says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Now, in a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And when I'm done praying, normally, here at Gateway, we give you an opportunity that if something was said, you could come over to this side and pray and nobody bother you, or you could come to the other side and pray and get help. But that's, we're going to do something a little different today. Based on this, based on what you heard today, if you are in this place and you are dealing with something that's uncontrollable, I got no strength to deal with this. And I'm not talking just to you who maybe I've even talked to in the past month. I don't want you to think this is just about you, because it's not. I promise you that. I want anybody in here, if you're dealing with something so difficult for you, it's like, you know, you always been wanting pastor to pray for you. I'm going to give him that opportunity today. I'm going to ask that you'll come right here in the middle of what we call the altar. Come before the altar. And I'm going to ask Pastor John to come and pray for you. We're not going to be specific about what your situations are or anything like that. Just collectively, he's going to pray for you. Because prayer, while fear is a powerful, powerful emotion, prayer is a very powerful, powerful tool. And yes, you can individually go before him. For those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you can go boldly before the throne and receive the help that you need. But I know oftentimes, for whatever reason, we'll look to the man of God and be like, if Pastor would just pray for me. I'm going to give you that opportunity today. After I pray, Ms. Myra is going to come and she's going to play softly. I want you to come. Will you forget about yourself? Forget about what people are looking at. Wonder what he going through. Wonder what she going through. Forget about yourself and let Pastor go to the throne of grace on your behalf. Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you so much, God, for, this man who we revere, King David, God. Man after your own heart, God. Man that the Messiah comes in his lineage, God. And yet we see he's just a man, and he goes through hardships just like we do. Thank you, God, that by your Spirit you will move him to compose a song that might encourage our hearts on this day, God. Thank you, God, for David displaying the confidence that he has in you and you alone, that no matter what he faces, because he knows you, he has no reason to fear. I pray, God, that your word have found good soil in the hearts of your people. Their ears and hearts have been opened. That people will want to know the God of David and understand that it's only through Christ, through Jesus, that this is made possible. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.